And our special topic line tonight, when you looked into the abyss, what happened to you? 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. Hey, those of you who live in the greater Indianapolis area, in October, I'm going to be at WIBC-FM's Talk Fest. So we'll be putting more information on the coasttocoastam.com website, and I'm sure WIBC, they have some information coming up soon on their website. Come on out for TalkFest in Indianapolis. I dug up some incredible audio of Carol Rosen, who was one of the spokespeople and representatives with Wernher von Braun, the really father of our modern rocketry and astronautics engineer. Came from Germany, of course, during Operation Paperclip. But I've got a minute clip I'm going to play later on tonight of Carol talking about what von Braun told her about the false flag of UFOs. It's an incredible story. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up with Michael, west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, George.
Yeah.
I want to share an out-of-body experience with you that I had a couple months ago.
Did you do it on purpose, or did it just happen?
It just happened. It was really weird because I was really, really tired that night and had trouble falling asleep, and finally did. Next thing I know, I'm looking down at myself and my wife next to me, and I was kind of freaked out for a while because that was kind of weird, you know?
Oh, yeah. And at that moment, I assume it pulled you right back in?
No, not at all.
Really?
I kind of started looking around the room, and I looked at the windows, and I kind of felt a sense of freedom. I go, well, this is kind of neat, and I figured, well, I'm up in the air. Let's go explore the world. I started heading toward the window, and then I heard a voice saying, stop. It's not your time. You need to go back now. It was really weird, and I heard the word now. I just felt like I had a body slam, and I felt like I got thrown down to the ground, and I opened my eyes, and I was looking up at the ceiling, and then I felt my heart beating, and then I felt the blood start running through my body, and then I felt like I could start moving again. It was really, really weird. And I kind of sat up in bed and didn't sleep that night. I kind of wondered, did I die? Or was it an out-of-body experience? Or what happened?
Did you die and come back?
Yeah, I don't know if I died or came back because, like I said, I was told it's not my time. I needed to go back.
That's interesting now. I mean, because normally, Michael, in OBEs, you don't hear another voice from somewhere saying, you know, come back or this isn't your time or anything like that. That's weird. I'm wondering, did you have an episode of, you're healthy, I assume, right?
I'm quite healthy, yes. I'm just 40, so I'm not that old.
No, I'm 58, I'm not that old. But who knows? I mean, that's strange. Most OBEs, especially the first ones, man, you see your body and you're rammed right back into it. So that's weird. Let's go to Ted, Austin, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hey, Ted, what's up?
Hey, good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, George, first time calling. I'm a little bit nervous to talk about this, but George, as far as looking into the abyss, when I was a child, I had a friend out in the backyard, which turned out to be an invisible friend that nobody could see, but I could see, which led to an event in our house that, George, there was like this monster thing trying to get in through the window, and I kept telling my mother, Mommy, there's something trying to get in here. It's bad. This and that. Well, it turned out we had a fire back there. I remember my parents were out at the time, and us boys were out there with the fire department, and the fireman came out and he said, hey, Chief, you got to come out and see this. I've never seen anything like this before. But what had happened, George, through all that black soot and smoke,
right,
there was a perfect frame inside the bedroom, like somebody put an indentation in there. And they took pictures of this whole thing. Well, George, what had happened during this course of time, I started to see visions of the future. There were three different things in particular. My mother and I, we still occasionally talked about events that happened. And like my father, I saw my father coming home to help rescue this man. And I remember that morning when he came in after work, he goes, you wouldn't believe there was this guy having a heart attack out there. I'm sorry I'm late. But what has happened since then is what my wife basically calls, George, is having this ability to tap into the universe. And it's just led into a bunch of different things and encounters in my life. I've been struck by lightning 4 times, if you believe it or not.
4 times?
4 times. I'm very serious. I can see things. It's almost kind of the best way to explain it, George, if you've ever watched that show, John Edwards, and he's
Oh, sure.
The way he puts it, and the only way I can put it to you is, like, he'll see pictures and that type of thing. I think everybody has a special gift. I become, like, resonant with something. I personally don't understand it. And if you look at, like, family photographs of myself, my kids, my wife, there's orbs, there's entities over the course of years that we can't explain it, George. And, I mean, I can really get into a lot talking about different stuff, but to this day, I still can see things in the future from medical procedures, from politics, different things. And my wife is constantly telling me, you need to write all this down.
I was going to say, you've got to start recording this in front of a witness, start dating it. So when these things happen, you've got a real journal that you can use.
Okay. I thought, you know, George, for years and years, I'm 45 years old. I thought everybody had this kind of ability. From seeing electromagnetism, like I was telling my wife, there are a couple of scientists that have never been discovered yet. We're on the cusp of it. And she goes, well, tell me more, you know, and this will lead into more and more and that type of thing. I won't bore you with all this stuff, but maybe I could send you some information, something you guys may want to look over in the future.
Sure. Do that. And now that you know you have this ability, do you act on it?
It just comes natural to me. It's like every day. I don't know what to do with it, honestly.
All right, yeah, send me an email. And what's it like, by the way, to get hit by lightning 4 times?
It hurts. It hurts. That's all I can tell you. I get really nervous. I used to live in Southern California, and I moved to Tennessee just recently. That's another strange, because you guys were talking on the show earlier about the urgency to get out. I felt that. I don't know why. I can't explain it. And it's strange you have somebody on the show talking about that. I felt it was imperative, you know, or important for all of us, the family, to get out. So did my wife. And right now we're doing okay.
All right. Good for you. Definitely. Send me some more information on what you do. Let's go to Mary in Independence, Missouri, the home of Harry Truman. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call, honey. I think it was last night when you were talking about the medicines that were pretty serious with the FDA.
Right.
Okay.
There were 4, and now they've come out with a huge list of 20.
Well, let me tell you what, George.
Those were, by the way, the ones last night were 4 rheumatoid arthritis pills.
That's right.
Pills. Okay.
I have rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, honey. Well, the way I got it was through the flu shot. Remember when we...
Yep.
Okay. That's how I got mine. All right? And I was only 24 years old.
How soon did you start having problems after you had the shot?
It was maybe 3 to 5 months. I started getting my joints started hurting. They started getting swollen. I didn't have any strength. It was to the point that, well, I went to a rheumatologist, well, a specialist, and then he sent me to a rheumatologist, and he told me that I had rheumatoid arthritis, and I started laughing. I said, no, I don't. He said, oh, yes, you do. Well, anyway, I started taking gold shots and name it, I was on. It's been about not even in a year that I started taking that Rheumacade. Okay.
What's happening to you?
Oh, no, George. I tell you what. My inner soul told me there was something going on with my body. My body was telling me to stop. And so I went to my regular doctor.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, listen, I think I should get off of this. He said, what's happening? I said, well, I said, I don't feel right. So anyway, so I went back to the rheumatologist, and they were trying to put me back on it. And the nurse said, well, now we have to tell the patients that you could, there's a possibility that you could get lymphoma cancer, George. That's what they told me. And then to top it all off, the other thing that was happening, that my teeth started rotting inside out.
Yeah.
All of them on my bottom. I swear to gosh, George, people, you better put your heads up, honey, because let me tell you what, this is what happened to me. And now, George, I am not on any kind of medicine. The only thing that I'm taking is herbs.
And you feel better, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have days just like now, you know, the atmosphere's changing because of the hurricane coming in.
Yeah, you can feel it. The barometer goes down. And
yeah, I can. I can feel all those things happening in the atmosphere. But not only that, George, I have to tell you, I start getting like anticipation feelings that something is going to happen. Well, my mother was mine.
She was a Mayan?
Mm-hmm.
One of the few.
That's right. And anyway, I have this feeling, and I feel things before anything happens.
By the way, did your mother ever talk about 2012?
Yes, she did.
What'd she say?
Well, honey, she told us as we were growing up different things, you know, and she said that she wasn't going to be here when the change was going to happen. And, of course, we were young then, right?
Yeah.
In our teens and whatever. And to this day, I've been thinking about what she told us. She said that we would be going down this road. We're going to stop. We're going to say no. And we're going to turn around and go the other way. And she said at the 12, she always said the 12. She goes, that when the 12 comes, we will know.
And this information was handed down?
From my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the way
from
down.
Her mother to her. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's the first time I've been able to hear that directly from someone who was a Mayan and lived here during this time period. West of the Rockies, Don in Salem, Oregon. You're on the air. Hey, Don.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Man?
I was talking to Tom, and I'm just now experiencing this stuff, and it's a social problem. I know it's kind of off the beaten track here, but about the 20-some-year-old, or you might even say older than that, but apparently my wife and I have inherited we got a 9-month-old little girl and a 2.5-year-old little girl. And the parents have just given up and decided to go their separate ways because they want to go out and party and do all that stuff. But, you know, investigating all this, it just seems like it's rampant, George. I don't understand. And like I told Tom, I just wanted your opinion on this.
And the little ones belong to what, your daughter or your son?
It's her daughter, my stepdaughter, and the husband, soon-to-be divorced husband. But they both got fired from their jobs, and they just dumped the little girls. And believe me, George, we love them.
Of course. But, I mean, are you going to be taking care of them permanently? Or
We are going to get
custody?
Custody of them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the parents are willing to do this, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, they're willing. They don't care. They want nothing to do with these little girls. And it just... And George, it like breaking my heart because it's breaking my wife's heart.
Don, how old are you?
I am 54, man. I'll be 55 in October, so I'm only a few years behind you.
You got to be a saint, my friend, to do this.
I wouldn't say saint. I would say stupid, but...
No, you know what? They're your grandchildren, right?
Oh, yeah. I would not let anybody hurt my wife or those two little girls. And it just, like I said, George, you know, this is our particular situation. But the more I hear, the more I read, it just seems like these kids don't care anymore, and they're supposed to be the next generation. you know, taking care of my country, your country, everybody's country.
You know, it's one thing coming up to you and saying, hey, Dad, we're going to go away for the weekend, or or we want Saturday night off to go out. Can you watch them? That's different.
Sure.
I mean, we used to do that. I used to take the kids over to my parents or my wife's parents at the time, and they'd watch our kids, and we'd go out, have our nice time, and the next day we'd pick them up. And, and we didn't do it all the time, but, I mean, it never even crossed our mind to give our kids away.
And like I said, George, it just seems because, you know, like I said, I watch, I read, I listen, you know, to all kinds of stuff. But it just seems like it's an epidemic. These kids, and, you know, I'm sure our parents said the same thing about us. What's wrong with these children nowadays?
But that was tempered. It, you know, it wasn't quite what it is today.
Exactly. But, you know, I just thought I'd throw that by you and see if anybody has any ideas about this stuff.
Man, raise them well, Donald. What can I say?
I will do that. She, I call her my rat, as in ratster. You know, my rug rat, but she listens to Coast with me. She reads my astronomy magazines, my science magazines, and she loves you guys.
That's great. Okay, you take care of yourself. Andrew in St. Louis, you're on the air. Hey, Andy.
Hello?
Well, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
How's things doing in my old hometown?
Oh, great. Just great.
Did it stop raining there yet?
Yeah, it's actually cleared up. It's actually really cool right now. It's just I'm enjoying it.
There's nothing like I'm coming out there in October. There's nothing like October in St. Louis.
Oh, you know it. You know
it's the
best.
And you know we missed springtime this year.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
We sure did.
We went straight from winter right into summer.
Yeah. Anyway, down to business. I'm only 20 years old, George, and I have just had some absolutely incredible experiences in my life. That just blows my mind.
At your age, such as what happened?
I'm 20, and I would say somewhere between sixth and eighth grade of grade school. It's like one day I woke up. I just woke up out of bed, and it was like this question was in my mind, like, what is this? You know, this consciousness. How do I remember? You know, what am I? What is this being? This existence? You know, this question, this ultimate question. You know,
you were thinking of things at that age that kids never even think about ever.
It was just like I woke up one day and it was there. And then a few, maybe 2 years later, after just like constant thinking all throughout my, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years, it like arrived on me that I don't know. It's very hard to put into words, but it's very, very strange.
It's an awakening, and it hit you really early.
Exactly.
And
it really, really did.
How about your friends? Is it happening to them, or are you out there all by yourself?
No, it kind of seems to me that I'm alone here. I've spoken to my friends about spiritual matters and exopolitical matters, and it doesn't seem like they have the interest or the curiosity or the drive or this question.
Right over their head.
Question. Yeah, absolutely. It's like I pose this thing to them, and they talk about it, and then that's it. They just go back to everything else. But on to the experiences that I've had. I would say last year, let's see, November of last year, I took a trip to Germany. I'm German on both sides of my family.
Hold for just a moment, Andy. I'm going to take this break, and I'll come back to you, okay? Hold on. Well, it's shout-out time. First of all, those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you so much for supporting Coast to Coast AM Stream Link members. Hello to you, XM Satellite, soon to be Sirius XM in terms of where you're going to find us. And as soon as we know that, we'll let you know. And then the various chat rooms all around the country, the NighthawkZone.com folks, By the way, Smoker Dave has a story that I'm going to read to you in just a second. It's probably one of the most heartwarming, sad stories I've read in a very long time. And then also the Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, Frog Forum, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, and all the other groups out there. Thanks for listening to Coast to Coast. Listen to this one out of Arizona. A man died when he shoved his son out of the way from a cascade of particle boards at a wood shop in Phoenix. About five workers were working at a woodworking company moving particle boards. The 46-year-old father noticed boards were shifting above his 19-year-old son's head. The boards began to fall. The father pushed the son out of the way, but the man's skull was crushed in the impact. About 12 to 15 boards weighing between 1,000 and 1,500 pounds fell on the man. The son was sitting with his father's head in his lap when the crews arrived, but the man died at the scene. Can you imagine that? I guess when you're a parent, you do whatever you got to do. We'll be back. Now, let's go back to Andrew in St. Louis. You still with us, Andy?
Yeah, sure am.
There you are. Okay, let's pick it up from where we left off. So you're going through this metamorphosis. You're getting this awakening, and how's it affecting you?
Well, it's like I said, it's like I woke up one morning from some sort of a dream, and it's like there was some sort of revelation to me about who I am and where I came from, but I can't remember any of this. But I know that it's been told to me, and it's like I knew completely who I am, but not all the details or any details, really. It's just this vague feeling of some sort of giant revelation.
They will come. The more you get tuned in, the more you're going to become more awakened. It's going to happen.
Exactly. So this is going on, and as the years pass, there's always this question in my mind, and then as I get older, things start happening. Just noticing the synchronicity. Hold on, my phone's about to die. Let me plug it in. Hold on.
All right. Plug that phone in. Probably into a car, I would guess. Drive carefully.
All right.
You there?
So,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
So all these synchronicities, like, thinking of songs when you fall asleep and then you wake up and the song's on the radio when you get in the car, you haven't even changed the dial.
I know it. It's so incredible when that happens.
Right. And from then on, it progressed into something deeper. I'm just going to jump into there's just so many experiences.
Well, give me one example.
All right. Okay. So this is a very intense situation. I was completely alone in a foreign country over in Germany. I didn't have any contacts. I had no food, no shelter, no hotel, no credit card, no passport, no anything. I was pretty much I was not my normal self. I was.
Is this for this is for real or is this a dream?
Yeah, this happened to me. This happened to me November, December of 2007.
What were you doing over there?
I had planned a trip and it had gone awry.
Were stuck over there, I guess, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
It's like I'd completely lost my ego, my sense of self, and I found my way to a church on the Rhine River in Cologne, Germany. St. Peter's Church, and I walk in, and the mass was almost over, and I had studied German in school, and I could understand everything and what have you. And I walk in, and the mass is almost over, and it's like the congregation is in the front, and I'm walking like in the side back door.
And they're all turning around looking at you.
No.
Oh, all right.
They're all just proceeding in mass as normal, and some priest in the back, he says, "You can go up there, but don't say a word, or don't make a sound," is what he said. And he was speaking of this elevated section in the back where the organist plays, where the organ is and where he sits and plays the music for the mass.
So I walk up there, and I stood behind the organist, and everything was completely normal. It was like I said, I was completely detached from normal self, this ego. Then my normal everyday self was completely gone. But somehow this was just some like autonomous, automatic, you know, it was everything. This is just how it went. You know, it was like it had already happened. So I walk up there and I'm standing behind the organist and I'm waiting for him to start playing. And then it kind of clicks in my mind that he's waiting for me. And all of a sudden I start conducting with my hands.
Oh, come on. For real?
I am for serious. 100%. This happened.
You walk into a church.
The priest tells me to go up there.
Go, and all of a sudden you're the conductor of the mass now?
Of the music, of the organ. And in my younger years, I mean, I'm only 20, but...
Are you a musician? Do you know
music? No, not at all. I'm an artist. I'm a drawer. I paint and draw. I know nothing about music.
So you're doing your thing as a conductor does. Is the guy following you along?
It's like I'm waiting for him, and then it clicks that he's waiting for me, and simultaneously I start moving my hands, and he starts to play. And he is playing exactly what I am feeling and thinking. And all these, the music is just exactly, everything is in perfect synchronicity. And it was just
strange.
It was just the most ecstatic and just the most joyous occasion of my life. It was bliss, pure bliss.
Did they talk to you afterwards and say, you're good, how'd you do this?
I finished this orchestration or whatever you may call it, and the organist turned around to me and he said, I'm sorry, I've never played music with you before, sir. So he confirmed that I was actually, showing him what to play, even though his back was turned to me. And all this, I didn't have any music in front of me, anything.
I got to believe, Andy, that somebody was playing through you somehow, somewhere. Let's take a few more calls and then skedaddle for the hour. Let's go to Brent in Texas. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there, Brent.
How you doing, sir?
Okay.
I was listening to you earlier on your show, and Michael Horn, he's a I've never heard of him before, but I want to say he's just... You know, with him and his studies of Billy Myers, it's just awesome.
Great stuff. He studied it, as he said, for so many years.
Yes, sir. I was reading his website today or tonight, and his last prophecy on the page, it's Contact 251, February 3rd, 1995. That one struck a chord with me. It talks about human DNA experiments with human and pig.
Yep.
If you correlate that, and if you believe in Nostradamus and his prophecies, there is Century 21, Contrade 64. If I'm correct, and he talks about a half pig man in that Contrade as well. And it, just reading over that, I mean, it sent off thunderbolts in my head.
And you know, scientists say that the human pig are very close.
Yes, sir.
You know, very close. So, you know, I'm convinced that in some laboratory somewhere, they've done some Island of Dr. Moreau experiments on animals and people.
I believe that, too. I mean, they attached an ear to a mouse.
Yeah,
not too long ago.
I remember that. What a bizarre picture that was.
Oh, it was. A couple other things. John, was his name John Titor?
John Titor, the time traveler.
Yes, sir. If you read also in the Enoch prophecies on the page, it talks about how the United States is split up into five categories or five regions. And Titor's, all what he was saying is that in the future, the United States is going to be also split up into five categories.
Well, that's true. And also, of course, you got to think of Edgar Cayce's prophecies of the weather on how North America is going to look. Jason in Napa Valley, California, first-time caller. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
Great to be on.
Thanks.
Yeah. I wanted to, I called tonight because I've been listening to your show for quite some time. And always when I listen to some of the fantastic callers that you have, like some of their stories, it inspired me to try to connect through to tell you something about something that happened to me once.
Okay.
Let's see, it was in November of 1990. I ended up falling about 80 feet down into a ravine.
And, oh, my.
Yeah. And so by the time they medevaced me and got me to the emergency room, my heart had stopped beating and I was pretty much dead on arrival, right?
How old were you when this happened?
I had just turned 21 years old.
21, jeez. Okay, go ahead.
So I have a lot of, patchy memory from the time, but it ended up connecting back to this dream I had when I was very young. It was like a very vivid dream. I was in the back of like an army truck somewhere in Germany, and there was the gig was up, and we had to jump out and start running. And as we were running, I heard a machine gun firing in my direction, and it was strange, like the detail of the dream, because as the sound of the rounds, it sounded more like popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the way that a weapon sounds like when it's being fired in your direction rather than when it's. And so I remember I jumped, and the jump, I flew way up into the air, and I ended up falling this great distance, and I woke up screaming. And it was the only nightmare I ever had where I actually woke up from the nightmare screaming out loud. And then so later in 90, when I had ended up falling, when they were reviving me, in the emergency room, et cetera, I woke up and I told them that I was in an underground hospital in occupied Germany.
And
I could only understand like every few words they were saying that they would have to bring a translator. And it was a strange thing because I didn't remember that at first, but my father, who was close at hand at the time, told me that I had said that, and which was...
It could have been a past life, Jason.
Well, that's what my dad and I have talked about. My dad is a big listener of the show. He's the one that actually turned me on to tuning into you guys and listening. But he wrote some of the things down that I had said, and he discussed them with me later. To kind of help me get my
That's very positive. Do you remember the fall, the 80-foot fall?
Yeah. Here's the thing. When I woke up about 4 weeks later. Like, when I say wake up, I mean woke up into conscious mind.
Right,
like,
right.
My name is Jason, and where am I type of thing. I couldn't remember how I had gotten there. I remembered the events leading up to the accident, but I couldn't remember the accident. It wasn't until, about a year and a half later, I was trying to get something out of a cabinet that was very high above my head, and I was still on crutches at the time, and I slipped, and I caught myself, and just the sensation of almost, falling, suddenly like a light switch snapped on this memory where I could actually remember, have a memory of plummeting through the trees and trying to grab onto branches and leaves and,
oh my God.
And then finally landing. And when I landed, it was the sound that I remember hearing. It was just, it was horrible. So
a sound I trust we never have to hear again, huh?
Yeah. I'm hoping not, because it's kind of like those once-in-a-lifetime things.
What happened? Were you climbing or what when you fell?
Well, I went off in the middle of the night with a friend of mine at the time, and he didn't tell me where we were going. He just said, I'm going to take you to my most favorite spot, and it ended up being this rope swing that was on the side of this hill that leaned out over this ravine. And, crazy old me at 21, I thought I could fly back then.
Oh.
So I tried this rope swing and it was going okay. But then the last time we tried it just with our arms, like not using the seat.
Yeah. And out you went.
Yeah, I lost my grip at the very edge of it. And I can remember falling and landing. And as I landed, I heard the sound of, bones breaking,
yep,
et cetera. And then there was quite a long wait until the emergency people arrived.
How are you doing now? You feeling well?
Well, yeah, much better now. It's like... I'll be 39 this October, and I've gone all the way through nursing school and all that kind of stuff.
And all the bones heal?
for the most part. I still have some residual pain, but it's kind of like a miracle because I was really smashed up.
Man, you're lucky you didn't hit your head, or maybe you did.
Yeah, you know, I kind of did, but I had my arm up, and my scapula, my shoulder blade, took the brunt of that and kind of cracked it in half instead of my skull, thank goodness. But
are you bionic, or you've got all your own parts?
But yeah, I got all my own parts. All the steel is gone.
All right, good. Thanks, Jason. Next up, let's go to Kelly in Washington. You're on the air with us. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, is that me?
Yes, sir.
How's it going, George?
Okay.
The past callers were kind of making me envious because my deal is I wanted to know if in this day and age, after millions of years, if they can still have new souls.
Yeah, I think so. Even though I think they're, you know, used over and over again, I do think new souls are created too.
Because my sister claims that she's an old soul. She
yeah, that's possible.
Run through the wash too many times, and I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm not having any progress with making spiritual advances.
You're coming back again. That's the thing.
You know, I don't know what lesson I'm learning now.
If you believe in reincarnation, you'll be back, which means you're just starting.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yep, which is not really a bad thing as long as you learn. As long as you learn. Let's go next to Don in New Mexico. Welcome to the program. Hey, Don. Don, are you there? I guess not. Goodbye. East of the Rockies. Your turn, Jack in Tampa.
Hey, George. How you doing?
We're doing well.
It's been a while. Remember me? I lived in Philly when I was younger, and then I moved down to Tampa because I hurt my back.
Yeah, that's
now,
you.
Now, I'm guessing that with all the weather. But now, what's going right up to Philly? A hurricane.
I know it.
Anyway, I wanted to call the Abyss hotline, but I didn't have the number, and I already had your number programmed in my phone.
That's all right.
Wait to hear this, George. Right where I grew up was a couple blocks from the art museum in Philly, you know, where Rocky ran up the steps. And
oh, that was a great scene.
But around the back of it, it's all boulders going up maybe four stories. And me and my best friend, Anthony, and I mean, we spent every minute together in the summers and whatnot. And it was only two blocks from our house, you know? So we were always right there because right across from there is the Schuylkill River. It's either fishing or rock climbing, you know? And a certain part of the rocks you get to when you're like 33, 34 feet up, it doesn't sound high until you're up there, you know?
Uh-huh.
There's always this one boulder that was kind of loose, you know? And Anthony, he's just 10 feet, one time too many. He would like tug on it and like act like a grape ape or fucking a gorilla or something, you know? And this one day he tugged on it, it's a little too hard, and it came loose from the wall. Rolls over his chest. Somehow he keeps a grip with his right hand on the wall as his left hand breaks through. This 500-pound boulder rolls off his chest. And all I see is a lady with a stroller down below, and the boulder misses her by 5 feet.
Oh, my God. 5 feet. We'll be back.